and welcome. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the stolen ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh.
Listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/CJSFradio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF-2573. Welcome, welcome. You're tuning in to Slumber Party on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco. Thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful Tuesday. We're here every 6 to 7 on Tuesdays. And we've got great topic coming up later on, so stick around for that. But as usual, we'll start with some of the music. So the first song we'll be playing will be Other Side of the Game by Erykah Badu from the 1997 album. So very neo-soul, very sultry.
So good. I love her, and this album is insane.
So hope you enjoy.
Enjoy.
But it pays the bills.
Other Side of the Game by Erica Badu. Next up, we'll be playing Kismet by the artist Sahadi from her album Complet, or the EP Complet. A little background about Sahadi. We played her a couple times on the show, and she is a Kosovo-born singer and producer, but she's now based in Toronto. But very cool, because as a child, she actually won first in an international drumming competition. She played this traditional Albanian rhythm drum called the def, and she was actually told at a younger age to play a more feminine instrument, and she was very insecure at this fact. But now she's an amazing artist, so it all worked out in the end.
Nice.
Yeah. Go Sahadi.
Go Sahadi. We support you.
We support. So here's Kismet.
Throwing south sound, keep coming back around to me. If we wanted to, we could go all in again. I hit it down, baby, down, baby. You know, to my kilon, I feel papa, para, flash on good torture. Take it just what I. Thank you.
Tune in to Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous, every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
Sled Island Music and Arts Festival is back June 17th to 21st, presented by Service Credit Union. Experience 5 days of music, comedy, art, and much more in diverse venues across Calgary, Alberta. Joining Sled Island's previously announced guest curator, Clipping, is English Chamber Folk Ensemble, Black Country New Road, revered Canadian pop project Homeshake, renowned abstract rapper Billy Woods, LA synth punk's Sextile, fuzzy indie rock outfit Feeble Little Horse, outlandish egg punk group Snooper, lo-fi post-punk duo Sweeping Promises, New York City-based ambient pioneer Laraji, genre-bending dream pop artist Salami Rose, Joe Lewis, and many more. Plus, there are over 150 more artists still to be announced. Check out the current lineup and get your passes and tickets at sledisland.com.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. You just heard Rolling Down the Hills by Glass Candy from the album Beatbox. Kind of a more transition into our EDM segment, which will be happening later in the show.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that brings us to our topic of the day, which is going to be about performativity. And it is somewhat inspired by performative males and just that whole trend that's been blowing up semi-recently. It's been a while now, but I've been thinking about that a lot and how performativity isn't just regulated to some aspects of how we present ourselves, but how it might be everything that we do. So it's more of a question of, is everything we do a performance? Mm-hmm. And we're going to break this up into two parts because it is a bit of a bigger topic. So in the first part, we're going to just go over, like, what does performative behavior even mean? And then, is it bad? What are some examples? And also tying in the death of sincerity, which I think definitely fuels a lot of performativity.
Yeah, I've got some thoughts on that. But just to start it off, so what even is performative behavior? So if we're just going by the textbook, Merriam-Webster, it can just be involving a public artistic or acting performance. We all know that. But B, performative behavior is an action that is made or done for show. So this is kind of to boost your self-image, you know, making a positive impression to others. And in this context of what we're talking about, it's about projecting this very curated image just for social approval and validation, and thinking about how you'll be perceived to others, or, you know, conforming to societal standards or predetermined molds that, you know, you think and a lot of other people think are likable traits.
Mm-hmm. And not only just approval and validation, a lot of people do performative things to gain social capital or currency, which we will get into later. But some people will perform certain roles that are already socially acceptable, but amplify those to gain even more respect or social capital, basically.
Mm-hmm. So essentially this behavior, I think if anything overall, if you have the thought of doing something and you think, will they like me afterwards, or is this socially acceptable, this indicates that you are doing something performative. And I don't think it's inherently wrong as well. You know, we as humans are very social animals. We do this to please and protect and avoid conflict with others, but there is a line that can be crossed where we see with examples like these internet memes, like performative males, that changes things.
Mm-hmm. And definitely historically, performativity has been around for ages, even just the act of romanticism and feeling as if, you know, nature is so beautiful and inspiring a sense of wonder in you to get away from industry. Like, that's an example of, you know, a social movement that you are actively performing and making paintings and poems and all of this art surrounding it. So it's been around, that's just an example, but I'm sure it's been around for even longer than that. But nowadays, if we think about how we are all acting in this modern age of technology, there is this increasing trend of the death of sincerity, which just means people are not doing what is authentic to them anymore. And a lot of that reason is kind of due to social media, just also because of how it amplifies group and popularity dynamics. Instead of presenting yourself to your close circle of people, you're actually presenting yourself to the entire world, and presenting yourself in a way that is the most flattering. And of course, we want to be presenting ourselves that way, but there's more of a promotion of the self. With the rise of influencers, we see that a lot, and a lot of prevalence or popularity is gained through insincerity, falsehoods, setting unrealistic standards, and all of these are performances to gain followers. Because if people were actually being realistic and authentic, that does not spark insecurity or engagement. And if people are insecure, you know, they're going to try to compensate in some way by buying a product or trying to emulate the people that are making themselves feel that way.
Yeah, exactly. If, like, when I see videos of, for example, like a very pretty girl, I'm like, oh, you know, I wish that I looked like her. And it has this very cycle of inadequacy that just keeps the cycle going. But other than that, going back to, you know, this death of sincerity thing, this, I feel like also with this age of performative behavior and with social media, it just turns everyone into being able to tell a story and commodify it from their life. So, for example, like every subway ride or maybe a walk you've done or even a bad date that you've done can turn into this form of social currency, which DJ Star mentioned, to make a viral social media story. And I think it is, I cannot stand that personally, because it is just such a level of inauthenticity, which I don't think it is bad overall. You know, influencers make money off doing this, but when, like, you know, the everyday average Joe does this, it, I don't think it makes anything in your life really enjoyable, because all you're thinking about is, oh, like, how will other people think when I relay this story or show this picture later on?
And it's manipulative too. Like, if influencers or even an average person does it, it is, there is some fragment of intention that is manipulative in some way. And there is a reason that they are framing themselves this certain way as well. And it's not just to, you know, maybe they do want to make other people feel bad about themselves by rising themselves up a bit more. And yeah, it's just not, it's not honest. It's not authentic.
It's not authentic. I also see this with, you know, we ourselves with capitalism, that we are consuming this content. But then at the same time, with our very individualistic culture of social media, it makes everyone feel like they're their own center, their own star. So then we, each of us, are everyone who's on social media feels the need to kind of market themselves and sell themselves like a commodity. Like, we become the commodity. Like, oh, you know, I'm trying to attract someone, for example. So on my Instagram, here is a picture of my boat. Here are my friends. Here are my travels, to all show types of, you know, social currencies you have. You know, can I check all the boxes? Is this aesthetic enough? Do I sound smart enough in this caption? And it's just like, we're this entire product that we just sell ourselves with. And that is a product of this, you know, death of sincerity era we have.
Yeah, every person's profile is basically like a self-advertisement, a little package, exactly like DJ Coco was saying, of like, this is one aspect of my life, this is another, how well-rounded do I appear, how attractive do I look? And that goes for dating apps, that goes for social media, that goes for LinkedIn. Like, there's so many different platforms in which we are performing our most ideal selves, but in slightly different ways, depending on what the, you know, the environment calls for. And it's exhausting, to be quite honest. And it's also exhausting to be consuming that kind of content online, because you know that the intentions are highly driven by capitalism as well, especially if influencers are big enough. You know, eventually they're just going to want to sell you something and take advantage of whatever insecurities that they've planted in you. And that's very unfortunate. But other than social media, in terms of performativity, I just wanted to bring up this point of like the surveillance state that we live in. And I've been noticing this more and more, that we are never, ever truly alone if we have a piece of technology around us. Like, I don't even think this is a conspiracy theory at this point, because my personal observations, like my computer, my phone, all of the devices in my home are connected in some way, and they're sharing information with one another about like things I am talking about. I'm not even necessarily writing it down, but I can just be having a conversation with someone and there will be something on my phone that's related to it. And it's happened enough times that I really do not think it's a coincidence anymore. So I think our mics and our cameras are pretty much all monitored, along with whatever text and other activities we're doing on our phone. So,
do you feel like you're performing for these cameras?
I think sometimes I will not do certain things if I know like my phone is nearby, or like,
yeah.
Like I do feel like not fully alone when my phone is in the room. And yeah, there is a sense of being performative in that way, because you are conscious that you're being perceived by something, maybe not somebody, but like something, and that's very unsettling.
I think when I just talking about this, it reminded me, and I put down that it seems like 1984 by Orwell is
yes.
coming true, and that Big Brother is watching us.
Yes.
And it already is happening. So I am going to go give a reread to that book because of this. But yeah, this whole mass surveillance and loss of privacy is something that I don't think as humans we really care about right now, because everyone makes jokes, right? Like everyone's like, oh, you know, when TikTok takes our data, they're like, ah, you know, what are they going to take? But it's going to, and it has been to a point that I feel like we should be getting a little concerned about how much evidence and or how much information all these companies, these private companies, know about us and share with each other.
Definitely.
But yeah, that can go off into another topic.
Another spiel.
Well. Another spiel. But moving on. So going back to the performative behavior, I also just had some examples that I wanted to give. And as well, you know, what kind of defines performative behavior versus authentic behavior, which is a lot more difficult than I thought would be to explain, which I'll try to give like a brief, the best explanation as possible. But one example of performative behavior would be, which I've noticed in some people, I'm not going to drop names, but like excess name dropping in conversation, you know, trying to reinforce your social status that you know certain people and you connect with certain people. So being like, oh, I know the president of, you know, XXX, this company, or my family is friends with these uber rich people and they go traveling to the Bahamas and they throw their money around, you know. And it's just to boost your own status that you know these people.
And your own ego, too.
Yeah. And your ego. You're like, oh, you know, they're rich and they hang out with me. Well, then I must be good enough for them and good enough that you think I'm good enough. That's one.
Yeah. And then, I agree.
Yeah. And moving on, I want to just mention for the performative versus authentic behavior. So doing one kind of more contrasty example would be, you know, performative behavior would be saying or doing something in hopes of making the other person in conversation like you. So, for example, fake laughing at someone's joke because you're like, oh, I want them to like me, so I'm going to make them feel good. Kind of thing.
Or saying that you like a specific music artist because you know that person's taste in music.
Yeah.
And although it's not a music artist that you don't like, it's not necessarily your favorite, but you are altering something about yourself to appeal to them. And I do that. I'm just going to admit it. I do that sometimes.
Yeah, slightly change the genre over. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I actually do listen to this.
Yeah, you kind of amplify a certain part of your personality to yeah. match with this other person's.
That's what's hard about this, about mm-hmm. separating it from authentic behavior, because what is authentic behavior then? Because trying to do this from the other side, so